Hey, hey, this is Rebbitzin Bevkind Grossman from the Connected for Real podcast, and I want you to have access to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat right here in your ears. If you would like to access all of the links, workbook, or get your free one-on-one with me, go to connectedforreal.com/retreat. Enjoy. Welcome to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, day 3. I love it. Day 1 was connect to yourself. Day 2, ask for abundance, right? We got really, really clear on our connection with God. And day 3 is all about your husband. Yay! We've all been waiting for this. It's all him. I know, right? We're all like secretly laughing because we know it's true, but it's not. It's like, okay. So tomorrow is the last part. Master a higher level of consciousness. You cannot use the calm method without having the last step. So don't lose me here and come tomorrow. Okay. Just letting you know. By the end of this, you're going to know what the calm method stands for. You probably already do, but you should know this by heart because it will guide you out of any situation and in the moment before when you have to prepare for something like a big talk about, I don't know what, when something already happened and you want to know how to deal with it, you can use the calm method. Okay. So this is amazing. It will save your life multiple times a day if you use it right. And it was funny. We were recording. I went around recording my kids. It's like, what's the calm method? And I give it to them, like 9-year-old, connect to yourself. Yeah, so cute. So they don't remember some of the big words, but they're so funny. And with the Hebrew accent, it's just hysterical. So yes, let's begin. Today, we're going to talk about why you even got this husband. God probably made a mistake or something because like, wasn't he aware of what was going on here? Like, excuse me, right? We're going to start with an analogy because, as you know, I love those. It's so fun to explain things with stories and, you know, my imagination. So I got this analogy from Aviela Sasson. She was one of my very, very dear friends and mentor. And she passed away, I think, 7 years ago. And I still love her very much. So you walk into the house and you have that big mirror at the front, right? And you look at the mirror and you're shocked. There's a stain on my shirt. So you run and you get the scrubby and you scrub the mirror and it's not scrubbing off. And you're like, and you go and you get the wipey and you wipe the mirror and it's not coming off. And you get the bleach and you bleach the mirror and the mirror isn't coming off. And it's like, what is going on? So you get the scraper and you scrape it and it's not coming off. You get the analogy so far, or should I just keep going? Yeah, that's what we're all walking around this life going, he has a problem. He's the problem. And I don't know why he doesn't see it, because I took him and I helped him and I dragged him and I shoved him and I pushed him and I don't know what, and it's not working. Right. So we've all been there, right? Like, I just need my husband to get help. No, it's cute like that. Let me see 1 second. Let me just make sure. Okay. I know from experience, because I'm really good at this, right? In the beginning years of our marriage, I knew the potential my husband had. He's a great guy and he has high potential and all, but like he just can't figure himself out. And it's just not. So I would like drag him to like meet people and network and try to get him a job and maybe like create something for him. And I even went out of my way to build an entire program so that he could head it. And it didn't work out because as soon as I had a miscarriage, I wasn't pushing it. And so the whole thing just fell apart. And thank God for that miscarriage, because it brought a lot of great stuff with it. By the way, I was so grateful. It was one of the best experiences I had in my life. And it's like, right? Like you push and you nudge and you shove and you pull and you, nothing happens. Nothing's working. Now, let's just go back to the analogy. right? Big mirror stain on the shirt. You try to clean the mirror, not working. As soon as you clean your shirt, you come back to the mirror and guess what? The mirror is clean. It's probably the easiest magic trick I've ever done, right? It's like, there was a stain on the mirror. Now there's no stain on the mirror. The mirror did nothing. And that's what we're talking about when we're doing the inner work. Basically, what we're doing is, if this is how God created the world, God created the world basically with other people being mirrors for you to know what you need to do. And the most annoying part is that your husband, sometimes your children too, but your husband, he's that big mirror that shows you every pore and every wrinkle. And like those, you know, my grandmother has one of those, like, right? He's so close and he shows you every little thing you do wrong. And there's just so much, right? So you see so much in him that's wrong because he's constantly showing you things and it's like hard. And then if you really learn how to look in and how to find it, it's magical. And by the way, once you clean your shirt and you go to that mirror and it's not showing anymore, it's also not showing in any other mirror. Isn't that? That's a cool trick, right? It's like, oh, not just this mirror. So you're walking in the store and you see a person who, like, you know, oh, he's so stupid and he's parked wrong and this and that, blah, 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 blah. And suddenly, like, everyone at the store is nice, or everyone, you know, in your life is somehow worked out. Like, what's going on? Okay, you get it? Good. Any questions so far? I told you, Aviella was the one who taught me this analogy with the mirror. She also used to say all the time, don't ask why, ask for what. And in Hebrew, it uses the same letters. Lama is why, and lema for what. And it's amazing because it's the exact same word, the exact same letters. And so if I'm sitting around going, why did I get this husband? This is so awful. Then I'm just sitting in why. And why is looking back to the past. There's nothing I could do about the past. Past is past. Ah, that's it, right? What for what? Now we're asking a different question. What is my husband trying to show me? What is this situation trying to teach me? Where am I going with this? What is God sending with this challenge? Usually a present, right? Now, there's a woman called Byron Katie. And Byron Katie is a really nice lady. I have no idea. I never met her, but I learned a ton from her. And she has something called The Work by Byron Katie. And after going through her hardships and her life and her things, one second, I charged my computer today so that my computer won't die, but then someone used my computer. So we can either complain about family members using your computer without charging it, or we can charge it and move on. So Byron Katie has a thing called The Work by Byron Katie. And The Work is based on asking four questions. Inquiry, right? The four questions by Byron Katie. I'll walk you through it, but I'll just tell it to you now quick so you know what we're talking about. Question number one, is it true? Question number two, can you absolutely know that it's true? And these are yes or no questions, by the way, the two first ones, black or white, is it true, yes or no?
Is what true?
Well, we're not asking any on any particular thing. I'm just going through the questions, but anything that you believe that is causing you stress is probably not true, but it could feel true and that's okay. Okay? And we'll get into it and I'll give you examples. Is it true? Can you absolutely know it's true? Number three, what happens when you believe the thought? And number four, who would you be without that thought? Okay, those are her four questions. And she calls this inquiry. And when you inquire on some thought that you have, then you start finding out maybe new truths, okay? Different angles to see life. Here's how our life, our body, our reality works, okay? Everything begins with a belief. The belief creates a thought. The thought creates an emotion. And the emotion creates your actions. Okay? Do that again. Beliefs, thoughts, emotions, actions. So if you want to know, how do I change my actions? How do I change my reaction? How do I, you know, be a nicer person, act differently, not get angry? I don't know, whatever you're trying to work on in your actions, in your, you know, reactions, then go back to the emotion. But how can you change an emotion? Well, you change the thought. How do you change a thought? By changing the belief. That's the core of everything. And so really what you're asking questions about is the belief itself. And I'll tell you a story. What happened was with me, I was learning Byron Katie and all of her stuff for months. I'm telling you, I became the expert on Byron Katie. And I was helping everyone and anyone, but I could not get myself to do it on myself because I was so scared what I would find. I was so sure that, like, oh my gosh, I cannot. So I was just collecting, consuming, but I couldn't get myself to actually face it. So she has this thing called the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, which is just a worksheet with six statements. You fill it out and then you work through it. And by the end of it, you're like, whoa, a different person. Okay. And that worksheet is really powerful. And I teach it to all of my students. Like, it's one of the first things that we learn in the first month is the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. And I have lots of trainings on it because it's so, so powerful. It takes 1 hour. You sit yourself down, you do the work, you get out, and that's it. You never have to do this again, right? Because once you change it, you can't go back to seeing something. You can't unsee it. So anyway, I'm learning all these things. What she has is a bunch of YouTube videos where she's standing on stage and there's a crowd and she says, who wants to come do the work? And everyone raises their hand and she picks someone and they come to the stage, right? And they tell her what they wrote on their sheet and they work through it. And while she's working through it, everyone else is watching and learning. And so I've consumed all of her stuff. And at this point, I'm like, oh, I could totally do this in my sleep, but I'm so afraid. And so anyway, one day we go to sleep and we're, you know, sitting around talking while we're getting ready to go to sleep. And my husband is constantly talking about himself, his day, how it was, who he saw, this guy, and what happened and what he did to him. And then that, and then whatever. And then he went and then he came. And I'm like, the whole time I'm sitting there in my head, I'm like, he's so selfish. Look at him. He's only talking about himself. All he cares about is to tell me about his day, his life, his thing, blah, 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 all the people he had to meet, blah, 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 blah. And he doesn't care about what I went through, my day, how I had to deal with, blah, 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 right? And I'm sitting there really, I was so annoyed. I cannot explain to you how annoyed I was, okay? And then in a split second, it hit me. Oh, my gosh, he's selfish. Is that true? Wait 1 second. Turn it around. I'm selfish. Yeah. Who's sitting here thinking about herself, not listening to a thing he's saying? Right? Like, who's the selfish one here? I'm sitting here in my own head going, baka, 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 baka. Well, he's just trying to communicate. He doesn't know I want to talk about my day. He doesn't know nothing. Like, and then it like struck me. Now, this is called the turnaround. I skipped the entire process because I had heard it for so long, but the turnaround is the last step. After you ask the four questions, you turn it around and you see, wait, when I believe that he's selfish, I'm selfish. Now, I'm not a selfish person, right? It only happens when I believe that he's selfish. And so I start thinking, he's so selfish. He doesn't care about me. He's not even bothering to ask me how my day was. What's wrong with him? How could he? How can I even be married to a guy who doesn't care about me? Do you see what's going on? I am reacting to that belief. So if we were to go back and actually do the work properly, right, we would ask, is this true? He's selfish. Is this true? Well, yes. He's sitting there talking about himself. Of course, it's true. Well, question number two, can you absolutely know it's true? So now you have to trust this, the process, right? If you're really, really, really stuck there and you're like, yes, it's true. Don't you see? Fine, just go with it. But for me, the question is, can you absolutely know it's true? No, I can't absolutely know that he's selfish just because he's talking about himself. Does not, you know, create a selfish person. So it doesn't matter if you say yes or no, even though those are the only two options, because question number three is, what happens when you believe the thought? Well, what happens is that I get so annoyed, I completely tune out. I have no interest in talking to him. I can't even listen to a word he says because I'm so hurt that he doesn't care about me. And then, by the way, this question is really to make you aware of how much you're causing your own pain sometimes. It's like the thought, the belief that he's selfish is making me suffer. But really, who's making me suffer? I'm sitting here like completely. So then the last question is, who would you be without this thought? Well, I would be a much nicer person. I would get out of my own head. I would tell him that I have things to tell him about my day. I would actually communicate properly. Like, right? I would feel excited to hear about his day. It sounds like he had a really full day, right? Like suddenly I would be a totally different person because this belief is just a belief. And I get to choose if I want to believe it or not. Now, because nothing in this world is absolute, lucky us, we can choose our beliefs. We can choose our thoughts. And it trickles down. Now, let me give you a story about how it trickles down, and then I'll take some questions, okay? We're all standing around, we're talking, we're chatting, right? We're just like having a great time. And on the floor, there is a snake. And somebody sees the snake and is like, oh, a snake right by your feet. And I see the snake. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then, right, you're like, and your eyes start focusing on just the snake. And what do I do? And your brain, instead of being able to think of anything and everything, it's like, right, there's a snake. Danger. And my body starts to like really sweat and I'm like really tense and everything about me physically is focused and obsessed on this snake because I'm in danger. Okay. And then someone looks down and says, wait a minute, it's plastic. Your kids put it there to play a trick on you. And I'm like, oh, okay. Shake it off. Everything's fine. Take a deep breath. Laugh it off, right? It's like, ha, 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 ha. Your kids are so funny. And then what happens? Someone else comes into the conversation. She did not know what just happened. And she goes, oh my God, snake. And you're like, yeah, it's fine. Excuse me? Do you see what just happened? Same snake. Same snake. Nothing changed. Except now you couldn't care less and you're laughing about it and you're all chill. And before you were dying, like you're physically reacting, not just in your head. Like really when people say it's in your head, they don't mean you're making it up. They mean the source is from your head. It's a belief you have and your body is reacting to that belief. Okay. So no, your stomach isn't not hurting, but maybe the hurting is coming from worry, from whatever, right? Okay. Just so that you guys get what we're talking about. This is really a great example, by the way, about parenting. When everybody, all the experts and the adults tell you there's something wrong with your kid. He's, you know, this, that, the other, and they label it and they tell you how, you know, how much of an expert they are and finding this thing about, you know, this in your kid and da 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 da. And you're like, he's my kid. I know he's not. He's really not. Like, I know he's capable. I know he's like, I really know, right? If you fall into the belief that they're right, you will treat your child differently. And if you hold on to that mother instinct belief that, like, no, there's really every, I know my child. And by the way, I know my child could be also the opposite. You know your child, you know their capabilities. They could be experts, but they never will be the mother. Okay. That instinct, that intuition, the ability to know the truth is in you. And you have to know that. So, anyway, experts can come a million times and tell you there's a snake. Once you neutralize the snake and you absolutely know it is not true, it is plastic, you will never get agitated, annoyed, whatever, ever again. You'll be like, yes, I understand. You're the expert. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll take care of it, right? Like, it won't push you over, like, you know, it won't be pushing buttons on you, in you. It won't move you, okay? Let's answer a couple of questions here because I see that there's chat. Okay, the four questions by Byron Katie. Very good. Thank you so much for writing them down. The turnaround gives you an opportunity to experience the opposite. Correct. I love that you copy-pasted. Okay, awesome. I love you. Thank you. You guys, go look at the chat. It's great. The turnaround, by the way, I love how Byron Katie says it, but she says, try it on like you're trying on shoes, right? Don't force it. It doesn't have to be true, but sometimes you just open to hearing how, you know, I don't know, maybe it's different than what I think, than what I see, than what I know, right? And it will help you see different angles. Oh my goodness. Listen to this. Somebody privately wrote, you're not going to believe it, but I just saw a real small snake at my steps coming back into the house 15 minutes ago. I thought that's amazing. By the way, little snakes are so cute. They're like garden snakes. Don't worry about them. Okay. They don't hurt. But yeah, somebody once asked me when I taught this, what if the snake is real? Right? So you still get to believe what you believe and react calmly, right? Instead of obsessing over and being like, oh my God, I got it there. Be like, okay, let's move away slowly and like leave the situation, right? Like, you stay grounded no matter what, okay? I'll give you another example when this happened. And by the way, when I was a graphic designer, and I started like seeing that I'm getting really good at this. And I didn't want to leave graphic design because like you always have that thing where like you're right before breaking the ceiling and going to the next level, but you don't want to leave comfort zone. So you're like, no, I'll just do this on the side or something, right? So anyway, I went into my meeting. This guy has a duffel bag full of samples and he just came back from China and he has all the things and we have to design all the packaging and we're doing really hard work and he won't concentrate. And I'm like, come on, what's going on? And he's like, I don't know, I'm so angry with my parents. They don't appreciate anything I do. I wish I could just leave the business. And blah, 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 right? And it was like, what's going on? So I said, please give me half an hour. We're putting away all the stuff or we're just going to do the work. And then we'll go back to the stuff and we'll be able to get done with it. And his wife was there because I always go when the wife is there because I don't meet men when they're alone. So I'm sitting down with him. I start doing the work and I made him like fill out the 6 statements in the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. And by the way, the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet is free online. The work is free online. You go to thework.com. It's all there. It's amazing, right? So I fill it out for him with him and then we go through it and he goes, oh my gosh, right? Like the whole thing collapsed. My parents don't appreciate me. I don't appreciate them. I don't appreciate myself, right? These are all turnarounds. He ended up not leaving his parents' business and opening up his own on the side. So now he is doing both. And he's super successful. And he says it's all because of that meeting. It was amazing. Now, his wife was an art therapist. She had to learn like years and years and years of therapy. And she was working with kids and everything. Like, how did you do that in half an hour when I have to sit down with people for years? Right? She's watching this going on. And I explained to her, it's basically like this. Therapy, you know, if there's a building, right? Because all of our beliefs are a building, right? So therapy will go like one floor at a time. Eventually you'll get there. But the work by Byron Katie and some other coaching, you know, forms of coaching goes straight to the root, the belief, right? We're not working from the outside in. We're working from the inside out. Go straight to the belief. You bomb that thing. Everything else comes crashing down. That's it. It's over. You can never see it like that again. And the most amazing thing is that in the actual Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, there is out of six statements, statement 3 and 4 are super practical. So, and that's what I love about it, because it's not just like fluff. Remember, I told you I'm a very, very practical person. It's not just fluff. 3 and 4 are, what do you need to know right now? What do you need to do right now? What do you need to think right now in order to deal with this situation? You'll never be able to feel helpless again because you have exact step-by-steps in the work that you did. And it's so exact because anything that you think the other person needs to do is usually the thing you need to do. Okay? And that's how powerful the work by Byron Katie and the turnarounds are. And it's why we're learning it today. Now, let me just explain something, okay? Why does this make sense in the big scheme of things? We're talking about the calm method. And in the calm method, we said that this first step is connect to yourself. I need to know what I want. I need to know where I'm going, right? I get to get really clear. And then ask for abundance. I turn to God and I say, I know what I want. And you're the only one who can give me that. I'm no longer attached to my husband. I'm no longer attached to other people. I'm no longer codependent. I am completely aligned. And I know exactly who to turn to, and I know who has the power to help me and to guide me and to show me. And I ask him to show me, right? That's how I started this whole business, by the way. It's like, God, what do you want? Because if I know what you want, then I know what I want. What do you want? And it didn't work until I finally said one day, show me. And that day, 3 people asked me for advice. And I turned to him like, you want me to give advice? Like, that's what you want me to do for a living? I thought I was just good at that because I'm awesome or something. Like, really, it was so natural to me to give advice that I don't see it as work. I thought work had to be like hard work. I don't know. Right? It's another thing we question. Does work really have to be hard? And so you follow like breadcrumbs. God shows you, and then he sends you a speaking engagement, and then he sends you a person to ask you the right question to push you to know the next level. And then the coolest thing happened. One of my like idol coaches, you know, the person I thought of like the highest, needed to find, she posted on Facebook, I'm looking for a coach for me. I need someone really good. And she couldn't find anyone. And I saw her one day. Like randomly, there's nothing random in the world. I know God sent her exactly where I was at the same party. And the party was boring enough that we were sitting outside and we started talking. And I said, by the way, I remember you posted on Facebook, you needed a coach for yourself that was business and life. What happened with that? Says, I never found anyone good. I tried a couple of people and they just couldn't get it. I said, can you give me a chance? I think I can help you. And the craziest thing happened is she said, sure, I'll do it for free. Just give me a chance. And we sat down for an hour and a half. She couldn't believe it. Her entire business and marriage were like, basically, she saved her marriage after that. Like, she really, the whole thing. And that was the thing that turned everything around for me. And like, oh, that's my niche. That connection between marriage and business. Where it's like, you can't find a coach that actually can help you with both, because in our minds, they're two different things. It's either you're dealing with business or you're dealing with life. Like, you're either a life coach or you're a business coach. And I'm like, why can't I be both? So that was really cool. But anyway, so we use the work in that also. And it's a very powerful thing. So we connect to ourselves, we connect to God, we ask for guidance, we ask for assistance. And here's where the L, listen for the answer, comes in. Because as we said, listen for the answer is going to come from reality. One time I went to the rabbi and I said, I don't know what God wants. Like, I really have no idea. What does he want from me? This is a ridiculous situation. I cannot figure it out. What does God want from me? And he says, oh, it's very simple. I love when rabbis are like, you know, he's like this old rabbi, so sweet, super, super nice. And he just like laughs it off. He's like, oh, of course, you know, of course you can know what God wants. And I'm like waiting there like, what? Like, God wants what is. Because if he didn't want it, it wouldn't be. It's so simple. It's annoying, right? It's like, that's it. But yes, that's it. Reality, the way it is right now and the way it was, right? Because God wanted that to be, is exactly what God wants. So now you're sitting there going, So God wants me to be stuck with this guy? Like, what's going on? Why am I stuck with him? He's here for a reason. God wants me to learn something, figure something out, work on myself. It's here for a reason. And so instead of fighting reality, I am reading reality. I'm listening to reality. I'm open to hearing what reality has to tell me. So remember yesterday we asked for specific things. We asked God for everything, like exactly what we want. And then the next step is the step that everybody misses. Most people are like, oh, I'll go pray. Okay. I know. I just need to turn to God. That's very nice. You need to turn to God, but then you got to get back in here and play the game. You got to start living life and hearing God in the mundane things, in the actual day-to-day. You have to hear what people tell you. You have to listen in to what is going on around you, right? I once had a woman who said, I'm so stressed out because we have this meeting about the inheritance and I can't stand my sister-in-law and I don't want to be in that room and I'm feeling awful and I feel so sick and I wish she would just move it to next week, but she won't move it. She just has to do it today. And I had to drive 2 hours just to get to the meeting and I can't do it. Did you bring God into this? It's like, okay, like, what do you want? It's like, I want the meeting to be canceled. I just want to call up and say, I can't do it, but I know I can't. It's like, okay, now turn to God and say, God, I really wish this meeting was canceled, but if it has to happen, it's going to happen. And if it won't happen, then I'll be really happy, right? I'll accept either way, but I just want to bring you into it. I want you to know that I believe you are running the show, right? Like, already anxiety level lowers. I'm not in control. It's okay. Everything's fine, right? Like, if the meeting has to happen, give me strength. Help me feel good. Fill me up, right? Like, be there with me because I can't do this alone. And if it doesn't have to happen, can we just please move it to next week, right? And she looks at me funny and she's like, you think it's going to work? And I'm like, I don't think it's going to work. I know it's going to work because you're leaving no other option. It's either going to work or not. Like, it's either going to happen today, but you're going to get the strength, or it's not going to happen today. And then you're going to be able to refill by the time you have the meeting. Anyway, she called me that night. She said, "You won't believe it. The sister-in-law came down with something and canceled the meeting." Like 2 hours later. Of course I believe it, because that's how God shows you what he wants. He just wanted you to turn to him. That was the whole point. Remember, we said all God wants is a relationship with you. That's why he put you here in this world. So if you know that, then every single thing that wakes you up a little is usually so that you can turn to God. It's just a wake-up call. And by the way, that's one of the things that I love the most in the work by Byron Katie. The bottom line at the end is, what do you never want to happen again? I don't ever want to, right? And it really brings the most painful thing out of you. Like, you did all the work and you get to that question. It's the end. It's like, oh, I never want to feel this way again, right? I never want to be, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, with the, he's selfish, right? The bottom question would probably be answered as like, I never want to feel so alone or so not cared for, right? Like, that's how I felt. Anyway, once you go get all the way through the work, you realize, oh, anytime I feel that way, it's just a wake-up call. It's just a wake-up call. It means, wait, you lost consciousness for a second there. You went through life unconscious. God is picking you up. Like, God is waking you up. Snap out of it. Come back to us, right? And connect. It's just a chance to connect. So do you get annoyed at your phone every time it rings with the alarm? You're like, oh, I can't believe it again. Like, no, you're like, oh, right? Turn off. It's exactly the same thing. Once you realize what these stressors are coming to do, you don't get upset with the stressor. You just, oh, okay, I'm waking up now. Thank you. And that's it. The stressor is gone, because the stressor was only here to wake you up. So far, so good. Great. Here we have the workbook. Turn to page 3. There's going to be a list of statements that are unfinished. What you're going to do right now is you're going to fill it out. Don't overthink it. Just write what comes in for you, you know, what comes up for you, because it's the truth that you're believing right now. And it doesn't matter if you already have like a half smile, like, oh, I'm going to pay for this. Because usually when I do the work, that's how I feel. I write down what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. And it's like, I know already what this is going to bite me when I come back to it. But it's okay, because the point is to get it out of your system, right? First, you need to get it out of yourself. Pin it down, because usually these thoughts, they're like a snake. They'll change their shape and they'll shift and they'll be like, I didn't mean that. I meant the other thing. Right? And it's like, no, stop everything. Write it down. Because the second you write down what you're really feeling, what you're really believing, it's going to be easier for you to get to the core. Okay? So let's go through it so that if some of you are in the podcast listening, you'll know what we're talking about. Okay. So on the workbook, my husband is fill in the blank. You could fill in multiple things if you'd like. No, you don't have to keep it to one answer. You can just let your mind flow. Right. For me, it was my husband's selfish. Of course, my husband's not selfish. He's amazing. He's thinking of me all the time. But yeah, I wasn't thinking that when I was thinking that. Ready? The next statement is, my husband should, or my husband should be. And if you guys want to take a minute and write in the chat any of your answers, even privately, then we can address them, because I see that we're good with time. The next one's my husband shouldn't. I need my husband to. You can also expand on this and say, for me to be happy, I need my husband to. And the last one on this worksheet is my marriage is. And you could also use isn't. Look at your list and pick the one that feels the truest. Give me the full sentence. What's a burden? My marriage is a burden. My husband is a burden. Both. My husband shouldn't wear old clothes. That's such a good one. My husband is annoying. These are good. Okay. The first one that came in is a burden, but I don't have a full sentence. So I'm going to wait for it. 1 second. Yes, both. I find myself taking care of everything. Very good. My husband is a burden. Okay, we're getting it for multiple people. So let's do that one. Is it true? My husband is a burden. Is it true? One second, let me see. Yes, it's true. Great. Can you absolutely know it's true? We're talking 100%. That my husband is a burden. No. What happens when you believe the thought, my husband is a burden? Feels very heavy and lonely, frustrated. What else? Where do you feel it in your body when you say my husband is a burden? You should try it on yourselves also, even if you didn't say that. When you believe my husband's a burden, where do you feel it? I I feel lonely and frustrated, heavy in my heart. What are you unable to do when you believe that thought? Poor me. You feel bad for yourself. And remember when I asked, is it absolutely true? Can you know it's absolutely true? You're like, ah. Right? It says it weighs me down all the time. Okay? Who's weighing you down? Your husband or the belief? Just awareness. And then who would you be without this thought? Some people have a hard time with this. So just imagine that this thought is a soundtrack in your mind. Right? And you mute it or you take it out. And suddenly you're able to see the same exact situation differently. Oh, suddenly I'm able to look up to God for guidance and courage. Oh, look at that. I got out of my own head. I could see things differently. I become giving and happy. Right? There's a thing blocking me from my true self, and it's the belief. Do you see how it has nothing to do with him? Like, really, he's just here to show me that I am in my own way. I can show up how I want to. Yes. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's great. The next step is a turnaround. Here's where it gets really interesting. Take the same statement and change a word in it. My husband is a burden. What's the opposite? Give me the opposite of my husband's a burden. You guys can help her out. I want an exact opposite. You could look for the opposite of burden. My husband is responsible. That's nice. My husband is helpful. And now, find evidence for that new statement. The turnaround is the exact opposite, and it's like trying on shoes. You're going to find evidence to see if you can maybe prove that new truth. The new truth might be more true than the old truth, but it doesn't matter. At this point, we're just trying them on, seeing if it fits, seeing if I can change a little bit of my perspective, get out of my own head a little bit. Instead of my husband is a burden, my husband is helpful. Oh, yeah, he actually helped me last night and then, you know, two weeks ago. And he was really helpful. Oh, what happens is your brain is blocking off all of the evidence for the opposite, for the turnaround, because it needs to protect you. Your subconscious is so, this is its job, to be so selective of what it believes, because it needs to make sure that you are safe. And if we have a belief that this guy isn't safe, or this, you know, men are blah, 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 right? Another nice belief that we believe in, like society wise, right? Men are jerks, or, you know, husbands don't care. My father didn't care, so why should my husband? All these things. We have things in our subconscious that are running the show behind the scenes. We're like little marionettes, and we have beliefs that are marionetting. I made that word up. Everything that we do, right? So there's an entire back end to our brain that is blinding us from seeing good in order to protect us from getting close to this enemy. Because we believe he is the enemy, so we must not see good. So there is an entire like hidden locker of piles of evidence of why he's helpful, why he's responsible, why he's not a burden. Because you need to stay protected and believe he's a burden. Somehow that is serving you. Your subconscious isn't just playing tricks on you. It's really there to protect you, except it doesn't realize it's actually hurting you. So it's your job to become intentional about thinking and sitting down and questioning, because your brain is selling you truths and you're just sitting there going, okay, I guess if my brain's thinking, it must be true. So we grow up and we're like, wait, I can think on purpose. I can question beliefs. I'm actually an adult now. I don't have to buy everything I'm sold. And then I start playing with the truths. I start playing with these different turnarounds. Like, wait, maybe it's not my husband that's a burden. Maybe the turnaround is my thinking is a burden. That belief is a burden. Believing that my husband is a burden is a burden. Maybe I'm the burden. Oh, you're not always the burden, but when you believe he's a burden, believe me, you become a burden. Find an evidence for that. All these turnarounds, take any word, my husband is a burden. So instead of burden, we make it not a burden. We also change it to responsible or helpful. Then we said, is or is not, right? Take my husband and make him I am. Also, if you would have said my husband is a burden on me, you can then say I am a burden on my husband. You can also say I am a burden on myself. And all this is not to say that you are this way forever. It's really important for you, for me to make this really, really clear, because we need to be very exact when we're doing this type of work. You're not this all the time. You are reactive to what you believe. So when I believe my husband is a burden, I automatically become a burden. When I believe my husband is selfish, I am automatically thinking only about myself. When I can question that, when I can free myself from that thought, from that belief, I free myself for being that. And then I am free to be myself. I'm intentional. I'm no longer reactive. It's very freeing. The new truth might be true, but the old truth is still there. Very good. That's a great question in the chat. We're opening up to seeing the reality differently. Instead of fighting reality, we want to be shown maybe different things, maybe new things. Maybe we're interested in, let's see what's going on, right? So the old truth might be true, but the new truth starts to be a lot newer, a lot truer when we start to find evidence for it. And sometimes you'll be like, I cannot find evidence for the fact that my husband is not selfish. It's the only thing I see. I know. That's how your subconscious is working. Don't worry about it. Don't fight it. Just like allow it to sit a little. Meditate with it. Like, my husband is not selfish. How? And by the way, I know I'm 1 minute, so I will give you just very short. A friend of mine had a son who was doing dangerous things all the time, like really dangerous, playing with the bleach or finding, like climbing up and things, like crazy stuff. And she sat down and did the work with me, like, I don't know what to do with my son, like this really like little 3-year-old or whatever, making her life crazy. So we turned it around. My son is doing dangerous things. I'm doing dangerous things. Like, what? I'm not doing dangerous things. Like, stop. Where in your entire life, not doesn't have to be in this situation. Just think, where am I doing dangerous things that God is trying to open my eyes that I'm doing something dangerous? And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't buckle my kids in the car because it's just a, you know, local ride, all the reasons, right? She's like, that is super dangerous. And I even know because we had an accident a couple of years ago. And I know because, right? So I'm like, there's your answer. That's where you have to start working. She's been so careful about buckling her kids in the car. And then a couple of months later, she sees me again. She's like, you won't believe it. But ever since then, he hasn't done a dangerous thing. Like, it's just stopped. Because she learned the lesson. She took action. She knew exactly what she needs to do. Sometimes God is sending you something just so you could turn it around and find in your own life what it is you need to fix. And it has nothing to do with the person who is showing it to you, right? Just like the mirror, it doesn't matter which mirror you go to. It's all going to show you the same thing. Because this is what God wants you to focus on right now. Okay? Cool? Yes. Woo! We did it. It's amazing. I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy you guys are here. Okay. Remember, tomorrow is day 4. It's the most important day because we bring it back to yourself. We went from up here, what do I want, to what does God want and how can God show me what I need? And then, right, asking for guidance and then into reality. I need to follow. I need to be attentive. I need to hear what God wants from me. I can't just stay in prayer mode. That's fluff, right? I need to bring it down to reality. Tomorrow, we're going to bring it back to ourselves by mastering a higher level of consciousness. And it's an amazing class. Don't miss it. I am happy to answer any of your questions. Ma, I love you. I will see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's me again, Rebbetzin Bapren Grossman, and I wanted to make sure that you loved it. If you want to go deeper and actually come live to the sessions of the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, please visit connectedforreal.com/retreat. As part of the retreat, you get to meet one-on-one with me on an implementation call, and you have access to that link when you sign up. Make sure you download the workbook. You have also access to the WhatsApp group and a bunch of other bonuses. So go and enjoy. connectedforreal.com/retreat.